ESPN is WKTI and WKTI HD Milwaukee.
A locally owned Good Karma brand station.
The biggest sports stories of the week.
I think that is the attitude you should have. But if the first thing you bring up when you look at the standings is Craig Counsell, then he has real estate in your head.
I don't think you can even argue.
Oh, no argument.
The Green Bay Packers, the way it ended,
but like I just said it, like they were 7-8 last year against everyone besides the Bears, right?
Unique and compelling analysis and opinions when it comes to your favorite teams.
As much as they want, because both teams are good and that game to be
Kyle, you're not feeling this.
Jason knows I'm not feeling
Kyle
it.
Kyle and I have already had this argument. Yeah. You hate that I feel.
What else was on the WB back then? What else did I miss?
You probably saw the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah.
The Jamie Foxx show. Don't come on now, Craig. Come on, Craig. You know the Jamie Foxx show?
No.
You know
this is Sunday Karma, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue. Here's GKB founder and CEO, Craig Karmazin.
Jamie Foxx is number one on Netflix?
Jamie Foxx is number one on Netflix right now, Craig.
How do you know that?
Because I was watching Netflix this week.
Are you sure it's just like not your algorithm?
No.
Because you love Jamie Foxx?
I may not want to snitch on myself, but it's not my Netflix. It is the Netflix of somebody else's that we have to contact them every time we log in and let them know to press OK so it can start streaming.
Wait, you're like that still?
Yeah.
On Netflix?
Yeah, yeah. For some reason, my little cousins are able to have access to my parents' Netflix, so we got to go a different route, different direction. We have the Hulu and the Max.
So you pay for Hulu and Max, you're saying?
We pay for Hulu and Max.
Well, you and your lady friend?
You know, my significant other. She comes out of her account. That was her account. I don't pay for any of those streaming services. Except for Spectrum, because you're
like a man of multiple like brands now. You're kind of doing your thing. You're the Truth. You're ESPN. I mean,
yeah.
You got real estate ventures.
Hey, real estate ventures. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, you don't? Oh, You've talked about that on the show. No.
No.
Okay.
First it was COVID. You told the whole world I had COVID.
You got it again?
No, I haven't. Actually, I haven't had COVID in over a year. Look at me.
Oh, now you just admitted to having it. There you go.
Oh, I did. Two or three times.
Yeah, you did. 30. All right. So we got a lot going on. It's our last show of the year. Someone was making fun of me we get made fun of a lot about how infrequent this show is on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm ready to go most Sundays. I just look at the schedule and I'm out on it. I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'm off this week.
So you're saying that's because of my travel and all that?
You're a busy man, Craig. You're a busy man.
So I think, you know, I had a theory that this show, that what we should do is, if you think about historically within Good Karma.
Yes, sir.
I had done the Steve and Craig show afternoons in Madison. And then I ended up, you know, because of my other responsibilities within the company, you know, leaving the afternoon show.
My other responsibilities. You make it seem so minimal.
Right. So, same thing happened with Greg Scalzo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Greg Scalzo was part of Scalzo and Brust. Ended up leaving the afternoon show because of other responsibilities within the company.
Yes, he did.
So, there was a theory that was going around. I don't know if you were part of this.
No, I'm not part of any theories or any conversations that go on. Okay. I'm on my business.
Okay, so now, producer of your show.
Yes.
Is Alex Strofe, right?
It is. Strofe, yes, it is.
Yeah. So there was a theory that why don't we make Sunday Karma you, Strofe,
yeah,
Scalzo,
yeah,
and me.
Woo! That's too hot to take on a Sunday.
And, well, the idea is that, you know, sometimes my travels don't allow me to be here. Sometimes your travels with your Frontier Airlines Unlimited Flight Pass.
I'm trying to re-up. They got a really good deal, $300.
Allow you to be here, you know. And then Scals and Strofe would be busy, too. So the theory was, what if we had, like, you, me, and Scals in studio with Strophe producing when we were at full strength. But realistically, it would end up being like, you know, two or three or four of us in any given week.
That sounds doable.
Oh, you're not that into it?
No.
Which part of it don't you like?
No, I'm into all of it. Actually, to be honest.
You're not a Scals fan or you're not a Strophe fan?
No, actually.
Or you like having the weeks off?
No, I like producing the show.
Oh, so if Strophe was here, you'd want to be in there and have Strophe in here?
Yeah, when there's very few conversations I'm a part of, you know. But this one, when somebody brought it to my attention, I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to produce the show still.
Oh, so you did know about this. See, I haven't heard about these conversations in weeks or months even.
It's been a while.
But I thought you'd be like, oh, I'm moving on up. I'm afternoon drive.
See,
I'm a host.
Like, I ain't like that. No? I believe in my roots, right? Yep. And, you know, y'all, just as long as y'all don't ask too much of me now on my Sunday. But, yeah, I love doing this. I love sitting in this chair.
So why don't you call Scals and Strophe now and see if we could make this happen? Their numbers?
I do have their numbers. Oh, wow.
Are you saying this isn't professional to do this on the air?
No, I mean... I'm not waking people up
at 10 o'clock on a football Sunday. I know the Packers play late and all, but they should be awake.
Yeah, let me make a couple calls real quick.
All right, let's see. Wait. Yeah, okay. I mean, call it on air phone. You don't need to call on your phone.
I'm going to call on air phone. You want me to try to get the buzz on air? Let me see if I can do the buzz. I think I got to do a lot to get the...
What do you mean? To hear the dial tone?
Yeah, to hear the dial tone. I think I got to do too much for that one. I can't hear the dial tone, but I got you, Craig. Okay. You can hold it down for here for 2 minutes.
Okay. All right. Well, and part of why we're doing this is, as I said, we were mocked because there are no shows the next 2 weeks. And someone said to me, you guys should be doing a time capsule in between your shows because it takes so long from one Sunday Karma to the next that I'd love to hear what actually happens between them. Because if you actually predicted what was going to happen between Sunday Karma today and the next Sunday Karma, which in this case is January 4th, I think you couldn't even imagine all the things that would happen and would go right and would go wrong over that time. So that is one thing that I think we are going to do today. We are going to jump in that time capsule and talk about what's going to be the case the next time we're all together. We are also going to talk about the Brewers trade, which I kind of previewed last time when we were here a week ago, when we talked about how I think generally we're all going to feel really good about this trade, this Devin Williams trade. Kyle, I don't know that you did based on the text you had sent me, but I thought we'd feel pretty good about this Devin Williams trade. And where things are going, this isn't like, oh, now we're not going to be able to contend.
Circle of life, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, you were like, does this mean the Brewers can't contend? Or was that just you in, like, producer mode?
Producer mode.
Oh, okay. Because I'm saying, like, this is like, what we are here, right? Devin Williams was hurt through most of the year. It's not like Devin Williams is, like, essential. And if you can get great value for him and bring back a big starting arm and upgrade your team, I think that's... You know, I don't want to say a non-story because that'd be disrespectful to the guy who's been the best closer over the last few years in the regular season. But I think we're all pretty much aligned there. And then we'll talk about this NBA Cup as the Milwaukee Bucks avenge their home defeat against the Atlanta Hawks from a week ago to defeat the Hawks last night in the Emirates NBA Cup semifinal to... set up a finals matchup against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who may, in fact, be the best team in the league. I know most people assume it's the Celtics, but right there with them are the Oklahoma City Thunder. But right now, in honor of the last Sunday Karma of 2024, we bring in the producer of KBN on ESPN Wisconsin, Alex Strophe, and the former host of Scalzo and Brust, Greg Scalzo. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, gentlemen.
So,
hi, Craig. Good morning.
So, Strophe, I want to start with you. Have you heard any of these rumblings of you being a part of a new and revamped Sunday Karma for 2025?
A little bit of rumblings. Greg Scalzo is very excited, so little rumblings, but nothing finalized, so I imagine that's what this might be.
Well, okay, so, Greg, you're saying that Greg's excited. Is that sarcasm, Scals? Because I was with you last night. You didn't say a word to me about it. Like, are you legitimately excited about this, or is that sarcasm from Strophe?
I can never tell with Strophe. I think it's an attempt at sarcasm. But, yeah, it's something we discussed. Strophe tried to talk to me about pulling a coup off on the Sunday Karma crew on Sunday morning. And I said, wait a second. Why don't we try to collaborate here with Kyle and Craig? And I know we've had the discussions, but they really haven't progressed.
Right. And so all of us have been busy. These have been going on for months now, and they haven't progressed. So I figured, let's bring people inside how deals get done or don't get done. So first of all, Scals, it would be understandable. I mean, you have two young kids. You work all the time. If you just don't want to work and be on the air on Sunday mornings – you should just say it.
And we could, what? If you just don't want to work, you know.
No, I'm saying on Sunday mornings. I mean, I'm saying that's very fair. He has a lot of family out of state, both he and his wife. Like if it's just another commitment, like you don't have to even engage in this if it's not of interest.
Well, if the commitment was every Sunday morning, then I think it would be a different conversation. But what sort of level of commitment are we talking about? Because as an avid Sunday Karma fan, I don't know if the expectation is every Sunday morning.
So, Kyle, as the current producer who wants to stay as the producer, and I think part of why people love the show is how bad you are as a producer. So if we actually ever got a good producer, I think it could mess with the show.
Oh, wow.
We've established Kyle, great host, bad producer. So, Kyle, what would your expectations be of Greg as a host, as the producer of the show?
I mean, I think we laid the groundwork and the framework years ago for the fact that make it when you can, right? The expectation is if you have nothing going on Sunday, you should be here, right? Like, usually when Craig and I miss the show, it's because one of us are out of town.
Yep.
And the other one is not. Like, if I miss a show, it's either Craig's gone or it's the fact that I'm actually out of town. I've never been in town.
Right.
And Craig's been here
and
I haven't been here.
And I've never, same thing, right? So it's not just like, yeah, just not feeling it this Sunday. That's not an excused absence. But if it's like, oh, my kid has this. Oh, my family has this. My mom has this. I'm traveling for this. Any actual commitment is an excused absence. But if we find out that it's just like, nah, I'm just not feeling it, then I think that's disrespectful to the Sunday Karma community that, you know, and Mark Chimura as one of the forefathers and everything that Sunday morning radio on ESPN Wisconsin stands for. So how does that sound, Greg?
I think that's fair. I mean, I think those are fair expectations there. And I like the fact that in addition to having a bad producer, good host of Kyle Wallace, the next potential person in that mold you're really looking at is Alex Strofe.
Well, no, Alex Strofe would be the backup to Kyle in the producer room because Kyle is saying that if he and Strofe are both here, he would want Strofe to be a host in the host room and he would still want to be in the producer room. Alex, how do you feel about that?
Okay, I this is the first I'm hearing of this. Why not just put two bad producers in the producer room together? Doesn't two bad producers equal at least one competent producer, right? In your mind, isn't that the math that would happen there?
Wow.
Do two chairs fit in there?
Yeah, no, there is. There are two chairs. Wow, I've never thought about having any assistants or help back here, man. That is mind-blowing,
what's
man.
What's this, some Delaware wing T formation we'd be going with here?
Exactly, right.
I take it. We get another camera set up back here. I like that. You know, I love me some El Strofe, so I'll be cool with Strofe rocking it back here with me.
So, Strofe, is that like you don't want to be in the on-air, like, host room? Is that, or you just feel more comfortable? You don't want to be, talk us through your philosophy on that decision.
It's not even necessarily a philosophy. It's just, we could spread it out. We've got all the room in the world, Craig. Kyle needs help. You need help. Greg needs help. I need help. So I don't know. I was just thinking two bad producers might equal one full good one.
Wow, that would be interesting. Now, Strophy, you were the one who tried to pull this coup. So I didn't go to you on this, but are you thinking you are available for Sunday? Like, I don't know what's going on in your life these days. Who knows, right? Like, so do you think you could make the quasi-commitment that we're all making to this show?
First off, no coup intended. The original idea was sometimes you're busy, Craig, so I just wanted Greg Scalzo to have the opportunity to spread his wings a little bit,
get back on the air. I know, like you, since he's not on the air every day anymore, he's got the it. So I pitched the idea of Scalzo and Strofe being the backup to Karmazin and Kyle.
Wow, so Kyle, he was trying to bump you, like, just when I'm out. He was trying to take your time away from you there.
You know what? That sounds about Strofe, right? You know, yeah. Strofe is always looking for his way to
Hold on a minute, Kyle. Would you admit that some Sundays it would be nice if you had the day off? Would you admit that?
Yeah. You know, when Craig is out of town, I'm out, you know, poo-pooing, crying. When we switched over to that philosophy, I was like, oh, okay, well, I mean, I guess that gives me a break. I wasn't begging to have to come in when Craig was gone. I don't mind it, though.
So, Kyle, to my point, the origin of the idea was, okay, if Craig's out of town, Kyle can have the Sunday off to hang with his baby girl, and me and Scalzo come in and entertain the masses. But the idea has evolved. So anyway, Craig, to answer your question, I am more than willing to be free. I would say like 90% of Sundays, yeah.
Okay, so now is everyone willing to commit to this, or are there other decision makers in families and stuff that need to be consulted? Because it sounds, Strofe, that you're here to like sign on the dotted line and you recognize the absolute zero additional compensation that comes with Sunday Karma, which is...
Oh, you know your talent.
Yeah.
You know, he's thinking dollar sign.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I think it increases your marketability from talent fees and endorsement opportunities. You know, you have the award-winning podcast along with the Afternoon Drive show. I think it helps the marketability, but, I mean, Greg, there's no compensation that comes with this role, correct? I mean, I haven't seen any.
Zero compensation that comes to the role, yes.
Yeah, okay. So Strofe,
it makes Mr. Irrelevant slightly more relevant.
Yeah, Strofe, is this are you willing to commit right now, or do you need to discuss with anyone else in your organization?
You really sold me on the marketability, Craig. What a great pitch by you. Yeah, look, I'm not married. I don't have kids, so it's not me I'm worried about in terms of the commitment. It's more the guy on the other phone line.
All right, so Strofe is in. Now we go over to Greg Scalzo. So the Sunday Karma team has grown by one. Kyle, pretty exciting, right? Now we got Alex Strofe, along with you and me as we look at 2025 Sunday Karma. Which this
welcome to the team, Strofe.
This makes the show a lot more likely to happen. Now, quick question, Strofe. If the show ends up, like if there's a week where I'm out and it's just you and Kyle, would you both be sitting in the producer's room and no one in the host room? What happens in that scenario in your
Yeah, Craig, the answer is yes. So when you look down at the board with all the buttons and sliders, I will be responsible for 50% of it, and Kyle will be responsible for the other 50% of it. Yes.
Okay. All right, good. Wanted to make sure of that. Now let's go over to Greg Scalzo. Greg, are you ready to make a decision for 2025 and beyond? We know that the Sunday morning show, I just agreed to fill in for Craig Kishon like once in 2005, and now somehow I'm here 19 years later. So you never know what you're getting into when it comes to this time slot.
Yeah, I feel comfortable with the current structure that we've discussed. The when available, you are there. I'm good with that. I'm willing to commit.
Good. Is there any idea that you're having this conversation at 10:18 on a Sunday morning?
No.
Oh, wow. She's going to have an expensive Christmas gift under the tree.
She probably doesn't think Greg works that much anyway, and she probably feels like he's so available as a partner and as a father.
Exactly.
That I'm sure she wouldn't mind him, having an extra hobby on the side on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, exactly. She'll be excited for me to get out of the house on Sunday mornings.
You fellas sound very sleepy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I sound sleepy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you both sound very tired.
Kyle, are you questioning their ability to bring the energy on a Sunday morning?
I'm just saying, it's 10:18. Y'all fellas, once y'all got popped up, y'all need to come with some energy. Y'all both sound groggy. Strofe, I can tell in your voice you had a long night.
I really didn't have a long night, but yeah, I'm losing my voice a little bit. So, I wanted to save it for 4 o'clock when we start Green Bay game day. But hey, 10:03, good morning from Kyle Wallace. I'm happy to be here regardless. Sorry, Kyle. Sorry I'm not living up to your expectations on my Sunday Karma debut as a new member of the team. I'll work on that going forward.
You got 3 weeks, buddy. And Greg, what's your excuse? I know, Craig, you said y'all was kicking it.
Yeah, I saw him last night.
Saw him last night. What's your excuse? Craig is up and ready to go.
There, I wouldn't say there's an excuse. I would say that I answered the phone. I didn't know who was calling me at the time.
He said, hey, Greg Scalzo.
This is one of those mornings that, like, I wouldn't have been able to host because I'm going to be jumping in a car to go pick up my kids in Illinois from their grandparents' house.
All right, that counts, right? Kyle, right? That would be an excused absence.
That is an excused absence. Yep. Yes, being a good dad is definitely an excused absence.
All right, well, this is exciting. Breaking news. Let the social media, let the media know.
Now, this is some breaking news.
The Sunday Karma team has doubled in size with a projection of at least 34% more shows next year, the early analytics say. Alex Strofe has committed to become a second producer of the show, and Greg Scalzo has committed to become a second host of the show. I am still in negotiations with Kyle to remove him as a host of the show and for him to become a host of the show.
I'll hold out in the studio before that happens.
We will see.
In out? Is that an in? When you show up to work?
A hold in?
Hold in. I'll hold in while I perform still.
All right. There you have it. All right, guys. Thanks. Looking forward to 2025. Sunday Karma growing in the new year. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Sunday Karma team energy. Woo!
That energy. That's going to be coming to you at 4 o'clock on Green Bay Game Day with Strofe and the crew. Thanks, guys. There you have it. Wow, Kyle. Who knew when we woke up this morning that changes would be afoot?
You know, that's how things work here on Sunday Karma. You never know what you're going to get.
Wow. Wow. I thought we were going to look in our time capsule and see what was going to happen in 3 weeks. By the way, did you watch... Tell me you watched the Bucks game. Please.
I did watch the Bucks game.
There you go.
I did watch the Bucks game. The NBA Cup. I got home from doing some things and I went straight to watch the NBA Cup. So I saw the second half of the game.
All right, well, let's talk about that when we continue. It is Sunday Karma. Major announcement. You just heard it. ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Apply major pressure. Money on my mind, can't take it off that. We got five different iPhones, I'm gonna pick it up for that grip. Anytime they come around here, we ain't gonna let it up on you.
Just talking about the Vegas Raiders. Let's go to Vegas and talk about the Bucks as they get it done. 2-8 and then 12-3. I was looking at the Thunder record, and basically the Thunder record at 20-5 is like what the Bucks record would be if they'd been playing this 12-3 ball all year. So Bucks beat the Hawks. They make it to the NBA Cup Finals. I think this is really good, the NBA Cup. I know some people have had trouble getting into it and understanding the why, but I think it makes basketball before Christmas interesting, and the single elimination brings an interesting dynamic to it and brings a little extra intensity early in the year, allows the best players to play a little bit more, which I think is one of the knocks on the NBA. And seeing Giannis respond the way he did last night was fantastic.
And also after the game, saying, hey, we got one more. We got one more, right? And I think for this Milwaukee Bucks team in comparison to L.A., this Bucks team actually has a shot to get them, you know, their act together as they have and be in it in the finals, you know, to have a shot to go to the NBA Finals. Make it.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the real playoffs
and
now.
So I think this intensity actually will help the Milwaukee Bucks for having to play
some
high-stakes
games. So you think
this
team can be competitive with the Celtics, with the Knicks? I don't even know who the other team is that you would say is better than them right now.
We got to see Chris Middleton continue to get better, right, and get his legs underneath him.
Yeah, Chris Middleton hasn't played well, but when he's on the court, they're just so much better. Have you noticed that? Like, his presence.
He struggled.
Yesterday, he had those terrible turnovers.
Yeah, he looked real old.
He had a few really bad turnovers, but for some reason, I bet you if you look, I did not look at his plus-minus last night, but he played bad, right, it seemed. But I bet you if I look at his plus minus, let's see, and I could be wrong here. Yeah, he was -5. So in his 22 minutes on the court, where he was 2 of 7 with 3 turnovers and 5 fouls, they were still only -5 with him playing that way. That's why I'm saying when he starts getting into a rhythm, that pass he had to Giannis to put them up three, I think was, the most important play of the game. Giannis's turnaround jumper was the sweetest play. Giannis leads the NBA in mid-range scoring this year.
No, I do not.
Mid-range scoring,
that
Giannis.
That was smooth. Even the bench, the Hawks bench was like, oof.
Yeah,
unstoppable if he does
so,
that.
So, exciting stuff going on for the Bucks. They'll take on the Thunder. You can hear that game on WTMJ and ESPN Madison this Tuesday night. Really excited for the Bucks to take on the Thunder. A true measuring stick, right? We know the Thunder are legit as legit could be. They're right there with the Celtics as the top two teams in the NBA. No offense to the Cavs right now, but the top two teams in the NBA. So we'll be very excited to see a true measuring stick game because you know the Thunder want this game bad. You saw how they were with the Rockets. So I think it tells you, it'll tell us exactly where the Milwaukee Bucks are, which after winning 12 of 15, I think getting a true measuring stick of where you are, the timing couldn't be better. Timing also couldn't be better to talk to Jason Wilde as the Packers go to Seattle and take on the Seahawks in one of the afternoon and evening battles of over 500 teams. You won't get any at noon, but an amazing afternoon and evening of football coming your way today. We'll talk to Jason Wilde about it as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Yeah. ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Wow. I feel like this should be a staple. This is some of that new Sunday Karma energy. Jason Wilde joins the show. Jason, what do you think of the breaking news coming out of Sunday Karma this morning?
What is it?
I knew that was going to be the case, Jason. I was just messing with you. The news is that Sunday Karma will be doubling in size next year, adding Alex Strofe and Greg Scalzo to the team to ensure that if one or two hosts are unavailable, when the Packers don't play at noon, the show will go on.
So it's double in personnel size, not in time elapsed size?
Correct. Now, this show used to be an 8 to 10 show. It will be staying 10 to noon, but there will be four hosts of the show. And the hope is that at least two of us can actually show up every Sunday.
Yeah. It's always a guessing game on whether it's on or not. So I'm really glad to hear this news. I enjoy this program, and it is a tradition unlike any other, dating back to the good old days of the football show and how Mark Chmura and you used to have the witty banter back and forth. I hope I fill that void at least a little bit once in a while.
We have to also, of course you do, Jason, a very critical part of this team. We also have to recognize the first Craig who hosted this show was Craig Kishon. Before I replaced him about two decades ago. The original football show host was Craig Kishon.
Wow.
And Mark Chmura.
I'm not sure I knew that tidbit, actually.
Yes. So I've been saying that Tuesday night is set to be just the best possible measuring stick for the Milwaukee Bucks as they would face the Thunder, will face the Thunder in Vegas. How much do you look at tonight or the Packers as a measuring stick? Because what I've said is it's so hard for me to know still this deep into the season if the Seahawks are good or not. So I'm not sure how much of a measuring stick I look at this game as for the Packers.
Yeah, and I don't know. I think the Packers are good. I don't know how good. And that's rarely the feeling that I have this late in a season, right? I mean, I don't know how many times over my career we've gotten into the final four games and I've been like, okay, they're good, but are they really good? Are they just okay good? And
I'm with you, but I'm not, I guess my point is it's almost like that Arizona Cardinals game where I came out of it saying like, I'm not sure that I know that much more about the Packers because I don't know that much about the Cardinals. And that's kind of how I feel about the Seahawks, which is maybe an unfair feeling that I have.
No, I felt the same way, and I thought the Cardinals stunk, and then they reeled off four straight wins, and now I think they've lost every game they've played since that four-game winning streak. And the Seahawks are the opposite. They lost four in a row. Now they've won four in a row. So, look, I look at it this way. This game and the Minnesota game at U.S. Bank Stadium are the two games that I think are the ones where we'll get at least more information. I view it as kind of a fact-finding mission, and I think we'll know a few more facts about them, but I still don't think we will know for certain just how good they are. Because on the other side of it, and I give Tausch a hard time because I don't think he's given the Vikings enough credit for what they've accomplished this season. He downplays them fairly significantly, not as much as he was downplaying Philly until he turned around on that. But the fact of the matter is that there's basically two teams that I think are first-tier NFC teams, right? The Lions and the Eagles. And then, like, I think there's a tier 2A that is the Vikings. And then I think there's a tier that's 2B, and the Packers are in that tier. And I'm still trying to figure out, is Washington in that tier? Is Seattle in that tier? Like, who else is kind of that next level? And I don't know that. And that's why I think tonight's game is going to be, again, I agree with you. I'm not sure how good Seattle is either, but this is what we've got as a measuring stick. It's not, you know, it's not the highest end tape measure. It's more like a old ruler that you used in grade school, but at least it's something to do some measuring off of.
Breaking news, not just the Sunday Karma breaking news, but David Njoku is out today for the Browns. And I say that just because I know how important everyone's fantasy football league playoffs are. And officially, Njoku is out for the Browns. So if you need a backup tight end, go get one pretty quick as we chat with Jason Wilde. So, Jason, as we talk about this measuring stick and all that, you know, you and I both kind of felt really good about Jordan Love coming off his only 20 attempt effort last Thursday night. I think this is kind of when he hit his stride last year, right? And we didn't know that the Packers were good until they went and destroyed the Cowboys in the postseason. So to me, I feel like this is setting up really well for the Packers, you know, everything except the fact that we know they won't end up, you know, as a top two seed.
Well, and to me, that's the bigger challenge. And another reason why I think tonight's game and the Minnesota game are important is because they're basically road playoff game atmospheres, right? And for a team that, and I have to give credit to Adam Stenovich because he was the one who pointed this out, the Packers offensive coordinator, most of their road games this year haven't been road games. Like, really, Detroit was the first true road game.
You're saying, like, Nashville was like a bunch of Packers fans there to party?
Right, and that was the case with the Los Angeles Rams game. That was the case with the Jacksonville game. So I just feel like this will be a truer test for them, and so will Minnesota. Obviously, there'll be plenty of Packers fans at Minnesota too, but good teams or good-ish teams, loud crowds, because that's what they're going to face. They're going to be the sixth or the seventh seed most likely, and they're not going to get a home game unless, I suppose, the seventh seed makes the NFC Championship game along with them. The thing I keep saying is the most important thing they have to do is avoid falling to the seventh seed, because then you're looking at playing a combination of either Detroit followed by Philly or vice versa. And that is something that I don't think gives them.
Okay, so wait, take us through that. So you're saying if they're the seven seed, then they're playing basically the best team that doesn't have a bye?
Correct. So they'll play the number two seed, which, let's just say for argument's sake that, just for clarity, the Lions hold on to the number one seed. The Eagles are the two seed. Okay. Remember, the NFL playoffs are not a bracket. The top remaining seed gets to play the top the bottom remaining seed in each round. So in that second round, the number one seed, Detroit in our theory here, would get whoever's the lowest seed left. And the Packers, if they get in as the seventh seed, they're locked into being the lowest seed left. So that is
wait. But the seven seed
Oh, you're saying that if they lose...
Let's say they beat the Eagles.
But how could they really fall there? Oh, you're saying if the Commanders pass them?
Right. The Commanders are 8-5. The Packers are 9-4.
Yeah, possible.
It's not like they won't have... It's not out of the realm of possibility at all.
So that's really, as we look at these last games, when you're looking at why Packers-Bears might matter the final week of the year and why it may not be like, hey, they're in, so... Why not get an extra week of rest? It's going to be all about staying ahead of there so you don't have to go first playoff game at Philly or at Detroit.
Correct. And then if you somehow win that, you get the honor of playing the next top seed on the road again, which, look, if the road to the Super Bowl is going to go through Detroit and Philly, great. But ideally, you're a 6 and you go to play the NFC West champ, or you're the 5 and you get to play the NFC South champ. And then you're in a position
where... By the
way,
the Packers are favored. The Packers would be favored in either of those games, you'd expect. I mean, they're favored at Seattle tonight by 2.5. So you would expect they would be favored in those games.
Yes, they'll have a better record than either of those division champions, I would think, unless... Like, there is the possibility that the Rams control their own destiny if they can win out, and they're sitting at, what are they right now?
8-6.
8-6?
Yep.
So they finish 11-6. Packers finish 11-6. The Packers wouldn't have a better record. But, again, it doesn't matter because they will have won their division. But, yeah, I would think they'd be the favorite on either of those road games, except maybe L.A. Because, remember, when they beat L.A., they did it when the Rams were without both Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp in that game.
Yeah. So let's talk health. Jair Alexander out. Is this going to be a topic for the rest of the season?
Yes, of course it is, unfortunately. And what's hard for me to understand is, It appeared that he was making progress. I talked to him on Thursday. He was encouraging. He had practiced in full both on Wednesday and Thursday, and then he didn't practice at all on Friday. And Matt LaFleur made an interesting comment about how you have to hit a certain speed in order to be considered cleared. So I don't know what his velocity is when he runs, but apparently it wasn't fast enough. So, and the one thing Matt LaFleur made it very, very clear he did not want to endure was a rerun of Chicago, where he goes in, he plays 10 snaps, he's not able to finish, and then they're playing a man down the rest of the day.
So, Jason, this has some fantasy football implications. Not for me, but a lot of people have been asking me. I got a text this morning from our guy Negatim about this. What's the story with Jaden Reed? Like, we know there's a lot of weapons here, but, like, games with one target and no catches, like, could you see a replay of that today? And, you know, I thought Jaden Reed was the guy early in the year we decided was the one you could count on from this group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you'll see a rerun today. I think both Matt LaFleur and Adam Stenovich were clear about the fact they can't allow him to be that limited in his involvement. Now, that said, I thought Matt LaFleur did a pretty good job of explaining what happened philosophically in the Detroit game that led to that. Now, remember, he really had two targets. One gets wiped out because he draws a pass interference penalty. I think it was on the first third down of the game. But he gets one other target, he drops it, and then he never gets the ball again. But he only played 25 snaps. And that was because the Lions played their base defense even when the Packers were going three wide. And Matt LaFleur realized after the first three series that he needed to run the football, and he had forgotten about Josh Jacobs. And so they decided to run the ball more, go two tight ends more frequently. And by doing that, it left Jaden Reed as kind of the odd man out. The thing that you should look for tonight is he lining up as a true, if they do go two tight ends, is he lining up as a true wide out as opposed to being in the slot, as opposed to lining up in the backfield? Is he lining up wide right or wide left? Because that's something that Adam Stenovich said he should do more of. He's capable of doing. And that's something that we saw with another wide receiver similar to his size in Randall Cobb. He was capable of doing that. And the Packers had to kind of remind themselves from time to time that they needed to line him up and use him that way.
Jason, we'll come back to the game, but real quickie, ESPN 30 for 30 released the New York Sack Exchange documentary, which brought back Brett Favre into the spotlight with the questions around him taking the sack with Michael Strahan. Any take on that and Mark Gastineau's anger at Brett Favre there?
Yeah, Mark Gastineau is not exactly the most sympathetic figure, right?
Yeah.
That said, Sidney Will, the end of the ball game, starting early. The issue that I have is with Brett Favre. I don't know how big of a fan you are of the movie Draft Day.
Big fan. Huge fan.
We have some teammates in that. I love that movie personally.
Most realistic football movie I've ever seen.
Here's my issue with that. In that movie, they're talking about Bo Callahan and how he lies about the $100 bill in the back of the playbook. And then he stands up for the lie, right? That's the big thing. And what I don't like about Favre is that he had a chance after this came out 20-some years later to tell the truth. And instead, he doubled down on the lie, right? And to me, that's
And you're saying the
I'm
lie
really
that concerned. He would didn't give Strahan the sack?
Right. Yeah, the call was 93 blast, Craig. Watch the video. Everyone's run blocking. Mark Tauscher on our show said, and I quote, that's the only time in his career where a PR person had to tell him you need to calm down before media availability. That's how angry he and the rest of the offensive linemen were. And here's the thing.
Wait, when you say they were angry, why would they be angry?
Because they went into that game saying, we're not going to allow Michael Strahan to break the record against us. And Brett Favre, and they didn't. Brett Favre gave him the record. And
okay, so you're saying that Favre wasn't angry, the rest of the team was angry?
No, the rest of the team was angry at Favre.
Okay, at Favre. Okay, yep.
And what's bothersome about that is that, you know, we always talk about in our culture at GKB and with the teams we care about, you want to be a good teammate. And he was a terrible teammate. He was great. He was a great teammate to Michael Strahan. But not recognizing how disappointing that was to his own guys and to do that, and then to not take the opportunity to apologize now, 20-some years later, really bad. Really bad look, really weak performance by him. He could have undone the lie, and he chose not to.
And you're saying ultimately that this could still be something that those offensive linemen today would be proud of, that, hey, last game of the year, we held Michael Strahan, who is on the verge of the sack record. We worked so hard, and we held him without a sack for the entire game. That's something that, you know, that you're saying was an accomplishment he took from his teammates.
Correct. That's exactly what I'm saying. And, again, I was in that locker room after the game. They were as angry. The only other time I've seen offensive linemen more angry in a locker room after a game was after 4th and 26, after Mike Sherman had promised them at halftime, if we get another 4th and 1, we're going for it, and blankety blank, we're getting it. And instead, they punted, and as you recall, how that game ended. So, to me, those are the two times I've seen Tausch so irate that he could barely speak, and that tells you everything you need to know about how angry they were about how that played out in the Meadowlands, that 20-some years ago.
And that Jason gave us that good a nugget after Sidney Wilde had checked into the game shows you everything you need to know about Jason Wilde. You can listen to him on Wilde and Tausch 9 to noon. Follow him at Jason J. Wilde. Jason, enjoy the rest of the game and enjoy the Packers tonight, and look forward to hearing your thoughts on it after the game and tomorrow.
All right, guys. I appreciate you accommodating me today.
Yeah,
take
thanks.
Care. Be good.
There he is, Jason Wilde's final 2024 appearance on Sunday Karma.
Look at that. Look at him multitasking. Dad of the year.
What do you think about the Favre thing?
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
Have you watched the New York Sack Exchange thing yet?
I did not, but I saw the interaction and I saw the guy's reaction. And I did not know Brett Favre to this day still denies that he laid down. I mean, we all know he laid down. And to me, it is what it is. But knowing the offensive line actually went into the game, taking pride in the fact that we're not going to let Michael Strahan get that sack. I remember what happened. I was happy for Michael Strahan because I wanted to see him get the record. But now,
yeah, I mean, at the time, I'm like you, it felt kind of harmless. And it was like, oh, that was kind of classy by Brett Favre is how it felt at the time.
But we really, but didn't you think about the other end, the person that would have said, hey, that was my record, and I don't know if they would have been tied or what it would have been. And then you think about the offensive line, the competitiveness. If I go into a game saying, forget this guy, he ain't getting the record today.
Think about a pitcher. Think about, like, you know, the pitcher being like, hey, I don't want to give up that record-breaking home run, right? And a pitching staff, right?
Yep.
So the pitching staff goes into a three-game series and says, hey, we're not giving up Aaron Judge's 70th home run or whatever. And then, you know, all of a sudden in the last game of the series in the ninth inning, someone grooves him a fastball to be able to do it after the whole team was like, hey, we're not letting him do this against us.
That changes my perspective on that. It really does, because I had no idea that the offensive line was actually upset and angry that the record ended up happening, even though they did everything that entire game to stop one of the greatest sack artists in NFL history from getting the record. So.
Yeah, a little more Packers Seahawks to talk about with you as we continue with Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Great little feature going on right now on ESPN on TJ Watt and his journey from Wisconsin to the leading forcer of fumbling in the NFL, Peanut Tillman. They talk about, you know, the forced fumbles, and TJ Watt's got, like, since he's gotten into the league, like a third more than anyone else in the NFL. So
what a story.
Pretty cool. I mean, that's one of those where it's like, you always remember those when it's like, oh, the Badger, how did the Packers not draft the Badger guy who was right there under our own, you know, right there? How do you not see that coming?
Yeah, I think he went hot. He went like 13, didn't he?
Yeah, but didn't the Packers have a pick where they could have picked him?
Oh, that would be shock. 2000 and no, they couldn't have, because he left maybe 2011 draft, 2010 or 2011 draft.
TJ Watt was the 30th pick of the 2017
draft. I thought you were talking about JJ.
No, TJ.
Oh, you're talking about TJ. I thought you were talking about JJ
Watt. No, I'm saying TJ after everyone had seen what JJ had become.
No, that was the Kevin King draft. That's when we traded back out of the first round, I believe, and ended up drafting Kevin King in the second round. Yeah.
So, yeah, 2017 draft, I'm just looking at it. David Njoku, who is out today, as we mentioned, was the pick before him. That was a good draft. Tredavious White, number 27.
He was good until he messed up his Achilles, I believe.
Evan Engram, number 23.
That's another good one.
Marlon Humphrey, number 16,
still
cornerback.
In the league, yeah.
Hassan Reddick, number 13 in that draft.
Is he playing now?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson, number 12. Marshawn Lattimore, number 11.
That's good.
Quarterback who's done okay. Patrick Mahomes, number 10.
Decent.
Christian McCaffrey, number 8.
Huh.
Jamal Adams, safety, number 6.
Yeah.
Leonard Fournette. That's crazy.
Yeah, great draft class.
But I'm saying, I would have thought Leonard Fournette was like 5 years older than that.
Really? Because he looks that way?
No, because he's like old. Like, I feel like he's been old, like, because he had so much tread on the tires, man.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And number one in that draft, guy who could take it back-to-back, defensive players of the year.
Who would that be?
Miles Garrett.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Miles Garrett and T.J. Watt in that same first round. You know, for the AFC North.
They were concerned about him because he had interests outside of football.
Yeah, he liked dinosaurs.
Yeah, he was a little weird, but he's a monster on the football field. Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin, shout out to the Steelers, because you know what? They got a lot of Wisconsin guys on that roster, and dude, they're all balling out.
Dude, their whole defense, like, when you watch, by the way, there's a new Hard Knocks.
Yes, I watched some of the first episodes.
It's about the AFC North.
Yep.
And so, yeah, you get to see all those Badgers on that defense with
Nunu
the Steelers.
Nunu had the interception last week, and that's talking about Keanu Benton. The week before that, Nick Herbig had the great strip sack, and he went into that game. I watched it. He said, Nick going to get him one. Yep. Nick get him one, and Nick got one this week on that tackle.
Dude, Mike Tomlin, if you didn't already, everyone's in love with Mike Tomlin already, but then that show, when you see him up close, like, oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a reminder he's one of the best coaches out there.
I mean, I don't think you need a reminder when you look at this Steelers team with Justin Fields starting the first half of the year and then Russell Wilson the second half of the year sitting at 10-3. And I mentioned it before, and I wanted to talk Packers in this segment, but we'll get to them next segment and maybe after that at 7-11. But the early games today are not going to be the ones that jump out at you, right? There is, you know, the Giants play in one of the games who are 2-10. The Jets play in one of the games who are 3-10. The Panthers play in one of them who are 3-10. The Saints are 5-8. The Titans are 3-10. The Browns are 3-10. And the Dolphins are 6-7. Dolphins Texans might be the best game of the early slate. So that's,
I mean, they got some stars on those teams.
Yeah. But I'm saying like that's Dolphins Texans is probably the best game. Not a great early slate. But listen to this late slate. Colts Broncos, not great. Cardinals Patriots, not great. But then at the same time, you have Bills Lions going on.
That's going to be one.
And Steelers Eagles going on.
That's another one.
And by the way, you could throw in Buccaneers Chargers, who are both over 500 also.
Chargers have played very well this year. I'm assuming they're on separate ones on Fox, one on CBS.
Yeah, CBS has the Bills Lions, Fox has the Steelers Eagles.
I mean, I like that.
That is the best two games going on all year that we've had. And then that all leads in to Sunday Night Football of the Packers and the Seahawks. So
I think for
if you need to get things done, you might, you know, do your holiday shopping early today, because afternoon on is a great day of football.
That Bills Lions game is a potential, you know, Super Bowl preview for these two teams. So I think this is a great matchup because both teams have something to prove.
Why can't the Steelers-Eagles be a Super Bowl preview?
I mean, no, it can be, right?
I did hear Gabe and Matt Jones saying there's no way the Steelers can make the Super Bowl.
Really?
Well, because their point was, if you're the Steelers, you pretty much have to go in back-to-back weeks and beat the Bills and the Chiefs.
But they have a defense. The Chiefs don't score.
But do you really think back-to-back weeks they could do that? And maybe the Ravens, if they lose today?
This is what I look at, right, is the Steelers have a legitimate defense that can harass the quarterback, right?
Yep,
both legit. The Kansas City Chiefs have shown you they do not blow teams out, regardless of
one-score games.
That's all it is.
And the Steelers are good at those also, which not a lot of teams are.
You have a great defense, and you have a quarterback with Russell Wilson who has his confidence back. They have two decent running backs there as well with Najee Harris and Jalen Warren. So their football team is a good football team that can compete. So are they going to be the favorite? No. But the Steelers can definitely make a run, all because Russell Wilson is playing really, really good football.
So you're saying, and then you think we saw the Bills give up 1,000 yards and 1,000 points to the Rams last week.
That's why this is a big game for the Bills today against the Lions, because the Bills are not phonies.
And that's at Detroit. That's at Detroit. So you think about it, the Bills' defense was embarrassed last week, right?
And then you go watch the Rams only score 12 points. Not even, I don't think they scored a single touchdown.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, but that game had weather in San Francisco.
But still.
I mean, even if they hadn't gone and scored 12 points, the Rams were unstoppable last week against the Bills. So the Bills have something to prove against the Lions, and that's the last offense and the last building you want to go into when you've just been dominated. So that game's amazing. And then you got this other game. As I said, the Battle of Pennsylvania, where Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown got called out by a teammate during the week.
So now
all of a sudden, that's like a
must-win. I'm confused about the drama here, Craig. I know we don't talk about a lot of stuff in NFL other than the Green Bay Packers, but A.J. Brown said something earlier at the end of the game last week about Jalen Hurts or a little slick comment or something like that. Is that what happened at the end of last week?
A.J. Brown was basically saying he wasn't getting the ball enough, and then teammate came out and said, well, they need to figure out their personal stuff, because kind of acknowledging that maybe there's something deeper than just what A.J. Brown was saying there. So I think that's what led to the bigger discussions. But in that game, when you think about it, even though the Steelers have been up for all of these huge battles, right, against the Ravens, against the Bengals, they won a big game, right? But Pittsburgh is still sitting there at 10-3. So they are right there with the Bills. They are right there two games behind the Chiefs. So they're probably not catching the Chiefs. But still, I mean, this is a huge game for the Steelers. I think it means more for the Eagles because I think the Eagles have to put all this drama behind them and get a win. Because if they lose that game this week, Eagles and
I like if they lose because that means they may unravel like they did last
right.
year.
Right, I think that's what people will be saying because they're at home. The Eagles are at home. If they lose that
struggle
game
last
at home,
week too against the Panthers.
Yep. So I think that game means a lot to the Philadelphia Eagles. Probably even more than it means to the Steelers if they lose that game. But it'd be a great, great afternoon of NFL football today. So all right, we will have we blew through the 7-11 last week. Are we hitting the 7-11 this week?
We can hit the 7-11 this week. Yes, I have something.
Is it Google proof?
It is Google proof. Yes, it's NFL as well because
it's Google proof.
It is, I mean,
I don't know if anything's Google proof.
It's not Google proof, but it's like legit. And I mean, I guess anybody can look it up.
Okay,
I can try to think of something that's Google proof, yeah. But it has to be like
what number am I thinking of between 1 and 1,000?
Yeah, you could say the Kyle rank Kyle Wallace.
Who are Kyle's favorite seven quarterbacks?
Yeah, in the NFL, the Packers players of all time.
See, that's we're gonna have with the new Sunday Karma. Which we'll reset for those who didn't hear. We will reset the new Sunday Karma and discuss if the 7-11 has a future in the AI era as we continue with Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.